Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, you actually responded. That's cool. You know, it's amazing when you ask a question and people respond. It makes you feel so good about yourself. As opposed to asking a question and like your children giving you a blank stare. Right? Any parents in the house know what I'm talking about? If not, I'm taking parenting lessons from you. Because I ask my kids a question sometimes and they're just like. I'm like, no, it was a question. It's like eliciting a response, but it didn't work. So anyway, hey, welcome to Motion Church. I'm geeked up for some reason. I don't know why. We're continuing a series this week called Enough. This is planned. Don't worry. This is not sabotage or anything. So we're continuing a series, like I said, called Enough. And the premise of the series, if you've missed any of it, safety second. Why did you bring me safety glasses and gloves? But these aren't safety glasses. These are swag glasses. Hey. Hey, so listen to this. I'll tell you a quick story since y'all got me distracted and everything. We went to a track meet yesterday, and there was a guy. He was in a 17, 18-year-old age group, and he came out looking the part. I mean, decked out, had his all-white, like, tights on and his uniform. It was all white, wearing his sunglasses, looking like Michael Johnson. Got dead last. But he looked good. He looked good. And that's half the battle. You know, you look good, you play good, they pay good. So where are we going? We're doing a series called Enough. And the premise of the series is, hey, listen, we just need to be reminded sometimes that God is enough for us. And the first week we talked about how we say that, and I think most of us probably really do believe that, but so often we don't live like that, right? Because we pursue other things to bring about satisfaction and contentment, where God is the one that's supposed to satisfy. God is the one that could only really make us content with our lives and help us to feel purpose and you know, feel this sense of belonging. God is the one that was made for that, or we were made for that, with Him being the answer, but we pursue other things in kind of searching for enough. I want to feel like I belong. I want to feel like I'm important. I want to feel like I matter. And God's the one that answers those questions, right? But we live, although we say and we probably believe that God is enough, we live like He is not enough. And that's what we talked about the first week. Hey, just God is enough. Like, we don't need all these other things. We don't need all of these things, what we call supplemental Christianity, right? Well, we don't need all these other things to add to Jesus for Him to be enough for us. He's enough all by Himself. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? So that's what we talked about the first week. And then last week we talked about how there are some kind of byproducts of that. Because God is enough, there are some things that happen, right? Because God is enough, you are enough, right? And not because you're awesome, although you probably are, right? Not because you're super smart or you're super attractive or you're super talented or whatever it is that you've got going for you. That's not what makes you enough. Jesus is what makes you enough. So that, and this is the whole premise of Christianity, right? The good news of the gospel is none of this depends on you. Because if it depended on you, it would be great one day and awful the next, right? How many of you have days like that? I mean, I don't even make it a whole day with being like, if you know, the goodness depended on me, I can make a couple of hours and then somebody cuts me off in traffic. And thank God it's not about my merit, right, or what I do or how good I am. And I'm glad you guys don't have, like, roid rage and street rage. Not that I have roid rage. That's an interesting thought. Things just got real at Motion Church. It's funny because Shelly's always like, if you ever do anything like that, I'll kill you. And I'm like, but you're the one threatening to kill me, and I don't know. So crazy stuff. And so if you cut people off in traffic and you're the instigator, then maybe you need to reconsider what you're doing with your life. Because, you know, we're just going on about our lives like everything is awesome, and then you cut us off and get us all in the flesh and all messed up. And so thank you for that. We really do appreciate what you're doing for us. So all of that to say is, one of the byproducts of being enough, or God being enough, is that you are enough, right? You are enough. And I know, man, we're so up and down with this. Like, there are days where I believe that, and then there are days where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that that's true. And even if I know it's true, sometimes I don't feel that it's true. But we know, we're smart enough to know, you can't be up in your feelings, right? You can't trust your feelings. I mean, how many times have your feelings led you astray? I felt like that was the right thing to do. Oops. I felt like that was the person that I was supposed to spend the rest of my life with. Oops. Right? I felt like that was the job I was supposed to take. Oops. Right? We could keep going with this. This is getting good. But stop. And so we just can't trust our feelings. And so the bottom line is, all of that to say, because God is enough, you are enough. And this week, we're going to look at another byproduct of it, and it kind of just lends itself, or it's kind of in the same vein of thought. So because God is enough, you have enough. And we're going to talk specifically about, man, the gifts that you've got, the talents that you've got, the abilities that you've got. How many of you would admit that you believe that God has placed you on this earth for a reason? Right? By show of hands. That's good time to raise your hands. All right, everybody, crowd participation is a good thing. And so you believe that God's placed you on this earth for a reason. And so when we say that I have something to offer, I have these tools that God has given me to use, that's why we have random moment of truth. Remove the power cord from the blade. Smart. Ooh, power. So I've got a lot of really fun stories about tools. They're not always good. And so we believe that God has placed us on the earth for a reason, right? We believe that God has given us gifts, abilities, talents, like these things that just are kind of natural to us. They're part of who we are, and they are to be used to influence other people, to lead other people to Jesus, to build the kingdom of God. But I also know that there's an adversary at work in that regard too, and it's kind of like what we talked about last week, how we experience lack. And one of the things that we lack is the confidence that God could actually use us. And I know this to be true because I've had so many conversations. I've had literally countless conversations with people who said something along the lines of, I just don't think God could use me because blank. Right? And you probably know what your blank is, right? Because I've done this, or because I've this insufficiency, deficiency, or, you know, I'm not as smart as this person, or I don't talk as well as this person, or I don't have these skills. So I just, you can't convince me that God could use me because of blank. And I'll be the first one to lift my hands to that. How many of you have ever felt something along those lines? Like, yeah, I mean, I believe that God wants to use me, but I just don't think he would use me. So maybe the idea of God using people is for my neighbor, right? Maybe the person next to me, yeah, God could definitely use them, right? But I just don't know that he could use me. And I think it's a struggle that we all probably experience to some degree. And so what we're really saying, and this is the heavy part, kind of the dangerous part of it, what we're really saying in that moment, when we're saying that God could not use me, is that something is greater than God in our lives. Like, something else is more than God is in our lives. And it may be a good thing and it may be a bad thing. Like, whatever it is that's overshadowing God in that moment, we're allowing it to be more in our lives than God is. And so that's just the danger of living in this place where we just believe that God couldn't use us, because it's just not the truth. And so what we're saying when we say that God can use us is we're just kind of making an acknowledgement that God wants to use people to make a difference in the world. And here's the thing, like, again, this is probably one of those things that we know. It's one of those things that we believe, but so often we don't live like it's the case. Because if we really believe this and we really lived this, I think people would be a lot more active in their faith. Right? If we really believe that God wants to use every person in this room to make a difference in their world, then you would see a lot more people actively involved and living out their faith, as opposed to their faith being relegated to going to church once every 4 weeks on Sunday. Right? Because that's Christianity in East Texas, at least, maybe the country. I don't know how it works elsewhere, but basically, you know, I'm a pretty decent person. You know, I don't do most of what everybody else does. Some of the stuff they do, I do. And I go to church every once in a while. That's not active faith. Like that's not being an active participant in what God wants to do in you and through you in the world around you, right? Being an active participant is day by day, moment by moment, looking for opportunities for God to use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what it means to be an active participant, right? You have a part to play in the story that's being written. The ink is still wet on the pen. And the story is being actively written. And what's so fascinating about this is you get to decide how the story ends. Like, you have a contributing part to how the story ends. I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that God ultimately is the determinant of all things, right? But I think that he leaves part of the story up to us to be written. Otherwise, why would he give us free will? Why would he give us so many opportunities to do this or to do that, where there's options for us to choose? It's our choice to make a figure out how the story is going to end, right? You guys tracking, right? So you have enough. You have enough. You are enough. And consequently, you have enough. You have enough to influence other people for Jesus and his kingdom, which is what our primary objective on the earth is. Like, there's nothing else more important for us than to lead other people to Jesus. Not that we're perfect, right? But our life should be a constant reflection of who he is and reflecting people back to him. So you have enough to influence other. I mean, I've had these conversations where people really, they don't even believe that God could use them to point other people back to him. And I'm like, just look at you. You're a mess and God loves you. That's the gospel. Right? There's nothing greater that could be used than somebody who is just completely unusable and God uses them anyway. That's grace. And you're pointing people back to Jesus. So embrace that and allow God to use you like that, because he will. You have enough to do what he's placed on your heart to do. We each have kind of these individual visions in our hearts and these individual compulsions in our hearts, these things that God has placed on us specifically to do. And you have enough to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. You have enough as a parent, for example. You have enough to raise godly children. You have enough to do that. As hard as that probably will be in the world that we live in, you can do it. You have enough. You have enough to affect the world through generosity. Right? In a world that's very much about what can I get, you have an opportunity and you have the ability, you have enough to affect the world through generosity. You have enough to encourage others. These are all gifts that God has given us, like our ability to use the things that he's given us. You have enough to use the things that he's given you to make a difference. You have enough to be a light in your workplace. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but they kind of need Jesus too, right? And some of you are like, amen, my workplace for real, right? And you work at the church. That's crazy. Just kidding. That's true too. You have enough with the tools in your belt to do what God has purposed you to do. And so we're going to look at this from just a couple of different angles this morning. The first one is just kind of the foundational portion of this. Hey, God can use you, right? And then we're going to look at some of the specifics as to how this plays out in our everyday lives. The first one is this: God can use me. And you probably, listen, you don't have to repeat this out loud and make it all weird and cultish sounding and stuff, which apparently works for some people. It's not going to work for us. Although, y'all bring out the Kool-Aid real quick. Just kidding. But this is something that you would be, I think you would be well served to tell yourself this a few times a day. Like when you get up in the morning, like instead of telling yourself all of the negative self-talk that you tend to tell yourself, if you're anything like me, like, oh, right? That's what my first 30 seconds of the morning looks like. Actually, I'll give you the demonstration from the side. So you get out of bed, and I'm usually like this, and it's a three-part process straightening up. I'm like, what? And then you're stuck like, have you guys seen Mr. Incredible? Like, or The Incredibles, and how, like, when he gets his, yeah, I was like, oh, man, I'm down with that. Decompression. And so instead of telling ourselves all of the negative things that we tell ourselves when we wake up and we start fretting about all of the things that we've got to do that day, it's like, oh, I got to go to work and I got to deal with this person and kids have these things going on and schedule and busy, because we're all so busy, right? Busy. I went into a convenience store the other day. I was the only person in the entire store. There was nobody else around. And I was like, this is a snooze fest. And I went up to the counter and I bought a Monster, which... God bless Monster, right? And if you don't like it, just don't tell me how bad it is that I drink them. You do your dumb things, I'll do my dumb things, okay? And so I went in, and I did all of my stuff, and I went to the cashier, and she was stressing. Like, she was freaking out. I'm like, how you doing? She's like, so busy. And I looked around, and I was like, all right. I mean, how do you respond to that? I had nothing to say to her. I was like, okay, well, have a good day. Have fun with that. Bye, right? And so rather than freaking out about everything that we have to do and everything that's going on, what if we just started the day with, hey, God can use me today. God could use me, and it may be something small. It may be something that we would consider minuscule or menial, but it's God can use me to make a difference in somebody's life today. God can use me to make a difference in a situation today. God can use me to change a conversation today. God can use me to be just a ray of light in a world of darkness today. God can use me. That's a great place to start your day, and it's the first thing that we're going to look at, because if we don't get this, everything else we say is useless. If we don't believe that God can use us, and not that he can, but he wants to, right? He wants to. He longs to. It's like Jordan was talking about with that last song. This is a God that's not just passive in his pursuit of us. He is active in his pursuit of us. When you think about the story of the prodigal son, the son was off in the distance and the father could see him. And when he saw him, if you were like me and I were the father in the story, I'd be like, yeah, drag your butt back home. Right? All the wrong that you've done to me, go ahead with your tail between your legs, come on back and start apologizing. I mean, that's, if I put myself in the story, I put myself in a situation and the emotion that I would have in that situation, but that's not what the father in the story does. And the father in the story obviously represents our Father, God. And so off in the distance, when he sees the son, he takes off running after him. Because he's actively pursuing him. Not only can he use you, he wants to use you. And so it's the first part of the whole conversation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says this. This is so good. It says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God, right? Like, this is a perfect summation of what we've been talking about. Like, look, you may be awesome in your own right. You may have some really good talents. You may be really intelligent. You may be, you know, very gifted and you can communicate well or whatever it is that you do well. But none of your qualifications come from yourself. All of your qualifications come from God. And here's the difference between the two. One of them is very finite. One of them is infinite. One of them has limitations. The other has no limitations. One of them understands in part. The other understands in full. Which one would you rather base your qualifications on? Right? I'm going on this side. I'm going over here. And so that's just, maybe that's the way I think, and I think you should think the same thing as well. So, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Because he is enough, you have enough. And we need to believe this. Not only do we need to believe it, belief should dictate behavior. We should start acting like we believe this, right? And so everything that we've talked about up to this point, our having the tools necessary to do the things that God has called us to do, it all comes from Jesus. It's this unmerited favor that God gives us. It's grace. I saw this quote that kind of it did a really good job of summing up this idea, and it says this: a life of enough is born in every moment. In the way we listen, the way we respond to the world, the way we see what is and tell the truth of who we are. Every single choice, every single moment, every change of course can bring us closer to a life of peace, contentment, authenticity, and easy sufficiency. A life of being, having, and doing enough. Dang. Isn't that good? And it's just this kind of this reminder of the way that we view the world, the way that we look at opportunities, the way that we view ourselves determines what we think of God and ultimately what we do with what God has given us. So he's given us enough. And because he's given us enough, everything in front of us is an opportunity to point people back to him, to make a small difference, to change one little thing, to change one little conversation, to encourage one person in one season of their life, right? It's just this one opportunity to do one thing. And we start to view every single day of our life like that, not only every single day, but every single moment of our lives like that. And think about the impact of that over the course of 30, 40, 50, 60 years. When every day you're looking for opportunities to make a difference, and every moment within every day you're looking for an opportunity to make a difference because you believe that God is enough, and because he is enough, you have enough. This is the difference that this thing's make. When you kind of extrapolate this out on a very large scale, that's what it looks like for us, is that, hey, over the course of our lives, God can do some incredible things through us. He can use us if we believe he's enough. And because we believe he's enough, we believe that we are enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, this is kind of just the reiteration of the truth, right? And God can give you more blessings than you need. That's where I want to live my life, right? Almost. And God can give you more blessings. Oh, I got so much. Here, just take some of mine. You don't want to live like that? You lie. Lying in church, right? God can give you more blessings than you need. Then you will always have plenty of everything, enough to give to every good work, right? Not only do you have enough, you've got more than enough. And because you've got more than enough, you've got enough to give to other people, those that are around you and those who need it. And what's funny is kind of in the context, it's actually talking about financial resources. But I think the bigger picture is that, hey, because you've got enough peace in your life, you can share that with some other people who are going through turmoil. Because you've got enough joy in your life, you can share that with people who are feeling hopeless in their situation, in their lives, right? Because you've got enough, because God is enough, you can help other people. It's an overflow in your life that goes into the lives of other people. So that's the first one. God can use us. He wants to use, not I think it would be better to personalize this, right? God can use me. And it's something that I think that you would be wise to say on a regular basis. Not that God can use you, but God can use me, right? Do you see the difference? Like, because I think so often we see how God could use other people, but we don't see how he could use us. God can use you. And so the next point, the only other point, is this. We're talking about kind of some of the specifics. What does this look like on our, you know, regular day-to-day in our journeys? And we're calling this tools of the trade. I love power tools, man. I keep looking down at it. I'm like, I want to do something really exciting, but I don't want to injure anyone. So what do you do? Like, such a struggle. For me. Maybe not for you. You guys are like, no, it's cool. Don't do anything silly. Right? So the tools of the trade. And so now that we've cleared up that you have enough, we're going to shift gears a little bit and look at how to actually do something with what we have. Because there's a huge difference between having enough and actually doing something with what you have, right? There's a huge difference between owning tools and using tools. I've met people who own tools who can't build anything, right? They've got some tools, but they don't know how to use them. I've met people who own tools who don't know the first thing about cars, right? And they don't know how to use them. It's like, I saw a commercial the other day, and it's like, hey, we've got a four-way or a lug wrench or whatever, and they're like, yeah, we've got that. And then he looks at his friend, what's a lug wrench, you know? Like, so it's one thing to have tools. It's a completely different thing to actually use tools. It's something to go out It's a whole different story when you go out and you actually utilize the tools that you have to make a difference in the world around you. And so there are a couple of things that can help you to use the tools that you have. The first one is training. It's one of those dirty words in Christianity. Nobody wants to think of Christianity as hard work. But here's the funny thing. Do you know that we're all called disciples, right? We're called disciples of Jesus. The word disciple is from the same root word as discipline. And to be disciplined in anything means that you work, you sacrifice, you give up things that you'd prefer for things that are better for you. So there's this whole element to Christianity, this whole, because we love the grace part of it. Like, oh, God is so good. God loves me. That's all I need, right? But there's this development that needs to take place inside of us and this discipline that needs to happen in our life, this training that we need to do to be all that God wants us to be. It's kind of like the army, be all that you can be in the army. But you know what they do? They train. They just don't throw them out there. Hey, here are some AKs and some M1 Abrams. You guys figure it out or don't. Whatever you feel like doing, do it. There's none of that. Like, they're very tactical. They're very strategic in the way that they approach their training because they know that training leads to success. It's amazing how that happens in every other arena of life, but in Christianity, we just don't think that that's a necessary component. So whatever, for whatever that's worth for you. So training, even though you have what it takes to do what God has called you to do, you also need to own, H-O-N-E, hone your skills. You need to use your skills. You need some training to make them better, right? It would be foolish. Just because somebody's really smart and kind of has a basic understanding of the human body, it would be foolish to throw a cadaver to them and say, hey, perform open heart surgery. Excuse me? Right? Now, you can, like, fix my ingrown toenail, but you ain't opening my heart, right? I'll let you. Now, I don't have one. I'm just saying as a hypothetical, right? You guys take everything so literally. Jeez. Sensitive. We understand that maybe they've got some skills. Maybe they've got some talent. But that still needs to be developed, right? There still needs to be some training. There needs to be some knowledge. There needs to be greater understanding of the context and what they're doing, right? Just because somebody has kind of a very good understanding of words and word structure, sentence structure, and how things should go together doesn't mean that they can write a novel, right? There's a lot that goes into that. There's typically years and years and years and years and years of gleaning and learning and reading other books and studying other authors and how they write and kind of their style and their prose, right? We look at these things, and then after all of that training, you can write a novel, right? Just because you've got tools doesn't mean I'm going to hire you to build my house, right? Like, I got a hammer. You still ain't my contractor. Right? I need to see something. I need to see not only that you're claiming that you can build something spectacular and awesome. I need to know that you've worked for somebody else for at least a little while and figured some of this stuff out. And I need to see some of your portfolio and some of the things that you have built that are still standing and haven't fallen down yet. Like, I need to see these things. I need to see the training that's taken place before I can trust you. And I just kind of wonder if God puts us in that position sometimes. Right? Like, he trusts us if we're putting in the training. Like, he wants to use us, he can use us, but I think he also wants us to develop ourselves, to be training and learning and growing. And then, you know, it's kind of like the whole overnight success in our society, right? Overnight success. You guys know what an overnight success is? It's 20 years of hard work that just, like, in a moment actually gets realized, actualized, noticed. And so for 20 years, they've been grinding, and then they're an overnight success when everybody actually notices what they've been doing for a really, 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 really long time. They've been training, and then they get noticed. It's just, it's funny how all of that stuff works. Here's the thing, like, we have our talents, we have our abilities, we have enough to do what God wants us to do, but we still have to develop our enoughness. Have you guys seen Alice in Wonderland? And it's like your muchness. Well, we've got enoughness. And we've got to develop our enoughness. You have some natural ability. That's awesome. But part of the equation is your capacity to develop what it is that you already have. Kevin Durant, he's an average basketball player, if you're into that sort of thing. This is what he said. And I don't know that it was originally his. He probably stole it from somebody else because that's what we do. And we don't attribute who it is that we stole it from too. Like, it's sometimes I'll say, like, quotes, and I'm like, like I say, right? And then you just got to go with it. I've heard this is actually how you're supposed to do this. The first time that you quote something, you quote the author, right? You're like, you know, so-and-so said this. And the second time, you say, a wise man once said, and then you say the quote. And then the third time, you say, like I said, and then you say whatever the quote is. And so if you ever hear me say, like I said, you know what had happened, right? And so Kevin Durant said this, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And here's the thing, man. You may be really talented. You may have a lot to offer. You may have things that God could use to make a huge difference in the world around you, but that doesn't exempt you from the responsibility to work hard. We've all got a responsibility to work hard. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this. This is kind of what does our training look like? How do we train as followers of Jesus? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, it's so good. Like, hey, I want God to use me. Do you spend any time reading His Word? Because that's how we develop, that's how we train, that's how we grow, that's how we learn. Like, I know for me, things that I've learned about myself and the things that I'm called to do typically come from me reading God's Word, learning more about Him, learning what these things are supposed to look like in my life, and how to use them. It's this amazing concept that Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for training us to do the things that He wants us to do, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped, not barely equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Like, He's given us what we need, and He's also given us the opportunity to develop what it is that we have so that we can do even more with what He's given us. Like, you can probably get by. You could probably make a little bit of a difference, or you could put some effort into it, and you can see greater things happen in your life, and not just your life, but the lives of those that are around you. Our training, or developing the tools that God has given us to make a difference in the world around us, it comes from getting into His Word. Like this, it's amazing. It's really sad. Like, let's be honest, in church, that's always smart. Isn't it sad that we even have to, in Christian churches, stand up and say, hey, everybody read your Bibles, right? Like, it's pretty pathetic that it's a conversation that we even have to have. Like, this is one of the most basic parts of Christianity and following Jesus, is that we know His Word, because John chapter 1 says that Jesus is the Word. And to know the Word is to know Jesus. And these are the things that He expects from us, because to know Him and to be known by Him means we have to know Him, right? Because as we know Him, He knows us, and we know Him, and He knows us, and we know Him, and He knows us. And it's this beautiful reciprocity that happens when we get into His Word, and we start to know Him a little bit better. And because we know Him a little bit better, we learn things about ourselves and things in our lives that could change just a little bit, because it's not lining up with the character and the nature of God. So we start to make some changes in our life. And then we get to know Him a little bit more, because we see just a little bit more, because we're following Him just a little bit closer, and there's more light in our lives. You see, it's just an incredible journey that we get to be on. And it's kind of sad that we have to tell people to do that. Because there is no excuse. Like, there is no one in our world, at least, you know, kind of close proximity our world, that doesn't have access to Scripture, right? We've got it on our phone. We've got the Bible apps. There's apparently like 3,000 different Bible apps. Just pick one, right? And there's plans. This is what's so awesome about the Bible app. It'll send you jerk reminders. It's like, hey, moron. It doesn't say that, but that's how I interpret it. Hey, moron, you haven't read your Bible today. Let's go. Get your stuff together. And this is the other part of it. It even rewards you with streaks. Like, so for all of you that have to have your streaks, you get your streaks as you streak. See, that's what's so weird. Teenagers today is like, yeah, I got a streak. And I'm like, when I was growing up, that was not a good thing. How things have changed, right? That was a bathroom situation when I was a kid. Just going to throw that out there. So that's what we have to do, is we have to learn and to grow and to train. We probably should not have talked about all that. But we did. So that's the first part of this is training. And so we've got to be willing to put in the training. Isn't it an unfortunate, I don't know how you handle this. I get pretty frustrated when you see somebody who is super talented and lazy, right? And you see it in, I see it in sports probably more than anything else because I coach kids and I'm just like, you irritate me so much because I was a runt, right? I was so small and I wanted it so bad, but I didn't have any talent. And it's just not because I was slow and I was kind of like, my mom always said I had baby fat, but I still got the same fat, so it's not baby fat, right? And I didn't even grow until I was almost out of sports, right? And I'm like, dadgummit. And then you see people who are monsters, and they're fast, and they're strong, and they're big, and they've got all of this talent, and they're just like, video games, dude. I'm like, man, I want to throw you into the television, you jerk. Ah, drives me nuts. And so it's just a really frustrating thing, and it happens in sports, but it happens at school, right? Oh, I'm so smart, but I'm lazy, so I don't do anything with what I've got. Or it happens at work. God forbid it happens at work. You see people with a lot of talent, and they just milk it for all it's worth, like just punching the clock, right? And so I'm not trying to get up in your business, or am I, right? So the bottom line is that, hey, man, we've got to put in the effort. This is the less glamorous part of Christianity. It's kind of the part that nobody wants to talk about. But, hey, there's some work that's involved. There's some responsibility on our part to put in the effort for God to use us to the great. I mean, he can use you 100% wherever you're at, whatever you've got going on. And it doesn't matter what you've done. And it doesn't matter what your faults are and flaws are. He can use you to make a difference in your world. But he can use us to an even greater degree if we do our part, if we put in the work. The second portion of this is availability. I've heard that the greatest ability is availability, right? And it's just because it rhymes, so it's got to be true, or it semi-rhymes. It's not rhyming if you use the same word within the word, but we're going to go with it, right? That's the other necessary component of being used by God, is to be available. Like, it doesn't matter if you have all of the tools, if you never make your tools available to be used. And here's what's fascinating about tools. There's kind of this weird balance between, hey, I should keep my tools in working order, and then I should also wear my tools out because they're working. Right? I got to keep my tools clean. I got to keep them organized. I got to keep them free of debris and junk and rust. If you leave them out in the rain, they rust and they don't work, especially if they have electrical components, right? It's just how this whole thing works. And so I've got to keep everything taken care of, but at the same time, I've also got to use it and wear them out. And so there's this weird balance that is to be struck. And so I think if we believe that God wants to use us and we're going through the training process and sharpening our tools, then what we really need beyond that is an opportunity to put it to use, right? To put it into practice, to not only have them and have them prepared and cleaned, but to have them available to be used. Because that's what we want. We want God to use us, and then God uses us, and we're like, God, I feel so used. Right? We're like, God, I want you to use me to make a difference in the world around me. And then God uses you, and you're like, God, I feel so used. Like, you know, I wanted you to use me to make a difference in somebody else's life, and maybe I did, and now I feel so used, right? I want you to give me opportunities to serve other people, and your phone rings. Hey, I need help moving a couch. God, I feel so used. True story, right? Yes, I have a truck. No, I won't help you move. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said that. I was like, yes, yes. That's just the assumption that if you want a truck, you have an active partnership with U-Haul or something, right? And so many times what we do is we want God to use us, but then we act like, oh, man, God's using me. It's crazy. Because my tools, I mean, I just wanted them for show, not for use. My tools, I just wanted to stay in my tool shed. I want them to be nice and clean, and I don't want them to get dirty, and I don't want the blades to get dull, and I don't want anything to happen to them that would mess them up when they were designed to be used. That's the whole purpose. That's what it's all about, is using what you've got to make a difference in the world around you. But here's the thing. the bottom line is this, and if we're all honest, we know this and we would admit this. We live in the most selfish world that I think the world has ever seen. In fact, you've heard probably the statistics that say this is the single most, what's the Greek word for where you're infatuated with yourself? It's based on narcissism. Yes, thank you. There we go. Whew. That's why you get married, people. Was that you? That was you, right? All right, cool. Just making sure. If not, I'm marrying somebody else, I guess. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. But it's the single most narcissistic society or generation that our world has ever, and I don't know how you make those comparisons when you didn't know anybody else from other generations, but they say that we are the most narcissistic generation that has ever lived, ever, ever, ever. And so that's the world that we live in. What we're called to is serving. What we're called to is using the tools that we have to make a difference in the world around us. How do you reconcile the two? You remember, hey, I've got tools. I've got them. Yours are probably unplugged, right? We'll talk about that. I didn't even mean to do that. That's like a message within a message. It's amazing. And so we've got these tools. We can go to Home Depot. We can go to Lowe's. We can go to Harbor Freight, which is where all great people go, because you get the same tools for half the price, and they wear out three times faster. And so you've got the tools. But you were called to use the tools, right? I've got them, and because I'm selfish, I typically tend to use them for me, or I just keep them in the tool shed where they stay nice and collected and clean for me, and if I ever want to show them off, well, then I can show them off because I'm narcissistic, right? And I've got look at all the talents that I've got, look at all the skills that I've got, look at all the gifts that I've got, but I only use them to accumulate stuff for myself. I've got all of these abilities, and I've got all of these things that I've got going on for me. I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm talented. But I only use it to make a difference in my life. As opposed to, tools were designed to be used. Tools were designed to make a difference in the world around us. I've heard stories of kind of the Amish community, which, look, I have no desire to live without electricity. I love SportsCenter entirely too much. So I don't want that aspect of it, but you hear stories about how when one family is about to build a barn, they have a massive event called a barn raising. And the whole community gathers together and brings their tools together, and they build a barn for a family. And when it's the next family's turn, next family up, hey, you're next on the barn building list, however you get on that. And everybody gets their tools, and everybody brings their abilities and their talents to the next barn, and they serve each other. And then because they served them, not that they served to be served, but because they served them, they serve others. And again, it's just this crazy. We don't have to live in fear of giving so much that we're going to be empty ourselves, because if we serve others, others will serve us. I was semi-complaining to my grandfather the other day, which is always about, don't complain to an old man, because they will just shoot you straight, right? And I was talking about, man, you know, it's just like, it's crazy. People are just, they're not loyal, you know, they just kind of come and go, and you think they care, and they don't care. And does anybody else have these conversations? Okay, I'm just making sure I'm not alone in that. So anyway, I was having this conversation with him, and he said, hey, do you want a friend? Then you need to be a friend. I was like, crap, man, that's not the answer I was looking for. I was fishing for, yeah, people suck. That's what I was fishing for. But it's not what I got. I got the old man answer, right? Hey, you want a friend? Be a friend. You want to be served? Start serving other people. You want to see God work in your life? Start allowing God to work in your life so that he can work in you and through you, and then you start to see God work in you, and you see him work through you, and then you see him work in you, and then you see him work through you. It's amazing how we have to act first so often to get to see the blessing and the benefit of all that God wants to do in our lives. It's on us. And we don't like this part of Christianity because we want, you know, oh, God is sovereign and God is going to do whatever it is that God's going to do. But so many times he's placed the pen in our hands, and it's our job to finish writing the story, right? He's given us the paper. He's given us the pen. He's given us an outline. And it's our responsibility to write the rest of the story. And so as it relates to tools and kind of thinking about this whole concept of having gifts and abilities, maybe we've been going through this and you're like, I don't know what it is that I have to offer. I wanted to read just really quickly Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, just to kind of give you some ideas of things that could be going on in your life and in your heart that God could use that you have to make a difference in the world around you. It says this: we have different gifts according to the grace that's given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Right? He kind of gives not a comprehensive list, but a list of things that hey, maybe these are the things that God has gifted you with that you can use to make a difference in the world around you. And then he follows them up with an action statement. Do it cheerfully. Do it diligently. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Go do something with what you've got because you have enough. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, you've done so much for us. God, it's foolish for us to sit on the sidelines at this point and to not do something with what you've given us, not to do something with what you've placed inside of us, not to do something with the enoughness that you've given us. The blessings in our life are so real, and they're abundant, and they're overflowing. So, God, we have enough to give to every good work like your word says. God, I pray that you would help us first and foremost to believe this, that you want to use us, that you're going to use us, that you don't have to, but you choose to. And what an honor it is, Jesus, that you would choose to use us to make a difference in the world that you've placed us in. And on top of that, God, I pray that you would help us to be disciplined, to train, to stay in your word, to stay encouraged with the people that you've placed around us so that our eyes are fixed on you. God, that we're growing in you, that we're staying sharp with the tools that you've given us. And lastly, God, that we would be available, that we would look at the world as an opportunity, not as a burden. That we would look at the world as this place for us to make a difference, not as a place that's going to bring us down. Help us to be light that shines in the darkness like we were called to. In Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.